Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. The Old Testament reading for this, the fourth Sunday in Advent, is recorded for us in the prophet Micah, the words of the prophecy of Jesus' place of birth. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand as we join in the Alleluia and verse at the bottom of page 205. The Gospel is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. I'm going to extend our reading. The entire reading given for this Sunday includes Mary's Magnificat, which isn't printed on the insert, but which I am going to also read. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned home. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Pastor, what you doing with our music today, right? I mean, first of all, you take a most treasured song and change the tune, and then this. I mean, that sermon hymn certainly wasn't very Christmassy. That music we just sang, maybe we could call it haunting or maybe stirring, but it sure isn't like the other Christmas melodies we all love and know so well. But there's a point. There's always a point. The words of that hymn are absolutely priceless. The words are exactly what Advent and Christmas are all about. Words of hope, words of promise, words of comfort, words about real life and real salvation. And words about where all of that lies for us through Mary's infant son, as the last three words of the hymn sang, four. That was true for the man who wrote this hymn 87 years ago. In fact, that anniversary was just this past Wednesday. It was December 18th, 1937 in Germany when this hymn was written. For him, the night the hymn speaks of was very dark and very deep. He was living through the struggles and the afflictions of the rise of the Third Reich. But like many other great hymn writers, these struggles and afflictions are good soil through which the Word of God grows and gives genuine hope, as it did for Joachim Klepper. The world thought World War I was the war to end all wars, but in 1937, on the eve of another world war, the brutal reality of sin and death was again raising its ugly head, as it does not only in global scale world wars, but also on that smaller, more personal scale. There are times when the devil desires to rob us of our faith, but also these times give us our faith an opportunity to grow and to flourish. When we have no other hope, nowhere else to turn to, where we can turn to the only true source of comfort and hope, Mary's infant son. So Klepper wrote, "The night will soon be ending, the dawn cannot be far. Let songs of praise ascending now greet the morning star. All you whom darkness frightens with guilt or grief or pain, God's radiant star now brightens and bids you sing again." If Kepler thought that the night of the darkness of the Third Reich would soon be ending, he would be disappointed. After he penned these words, that darkness only got deeper as the war began and destruction spread. And in fact, he never got to see the end of that dark night. He died in the midst of the war in 1942. But that, of course, was the actual dawn he was waiting for. Even in the midst of fear and pain and grief, the morning star is what he was looking for. Jesus is who he was singing about. Jesus and the new life that he brings. Even in the midst of war or the struggles or oppression you might be facing, we have this confidence. The dawn cannot be far. Our Savior who came is coming again, and he has promised that he will take us from this valley of sorrow to be with himself in heaven, as we confess in the small catechism. And so we sing, as God's people have always done. We sing in the face of sin, in the face of death, and we let the joy of our faith in Christ encourage us. For the one whom angels tended comes near, a child to serve. Thus God, the judge offended, bears all our sin deserve. The guilty need never cower, for God has reconciled through his redemptive power all those who trust this child. Right there is the pure gospel. The Almighty God comes as a child. The one whom the angels serve comes to serve us. The one who is actually offended by our sin comes to bear our sins. That's what the words from Hebrews that we heard today were saying. That he would do the will of God the way we do not. And he would do the will of God in the body that had been prepared for him. He would be the sinless one. He would live the sinless life. And then he would offer his sinless body and life as the sacrifice for our sins. The judge would take our judgment, as Klepper wrote, so that we, the guilty ones, need not cower in fear before God because of our sin and guilt. Because the good news is that this child, this Jesus, has taken away our sins. He has redeemed us, and he has given us the promise of life once and for all time. So just as the earth in sure rotation will soon bring morning light, so run where God's salvation glows in a stable light. As old as sin's perversion is mercy's vast design, God brings a new creation, this child, its seal and sign. Each day brings the new mercies of our God. Just as the sun rises on us each morning, the Son of God has risen and come for us. And this was the plan. This was the plan even since before the perversion of sin came into the world. And as soon as sin's perversion came in, God was right there with his mercy, promising a frightened, a divided, a dying Adam and Eve, not a small rescue, but mercy's vast design, a savior, a new creation, a promise that he would repeat down through the ages. Or as Mary put it, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And now he has come to fulfill the promise, himself, a child born into the world, to purify us and to save us from sin's perversion. Yet nights will bring their sadness and rob our hearts of peace. And sin and all its madness around us will increase. But now one star is beaming, whose rays have pierced the night. God comes for our redeeming from sin's oppressive might. Klepper was no starry-eyed, head in the clouds, rose-colored glasses, reality-denying romantic. How could he be, with the rise of Hitler, with the specter of war, and with the nightmarish times he was living through? He knew the darkness and night and madness of sin was powerful. It did bring sadness. It does rob hearts of peace. And he was speaking from personal experience. His wife and his stepdaughters were of Jewish descent. They had been baptized into Christ, but that didn't make a difference in Nazi Germany. Klepper was dismissed from two very good jobs because his wife was Jewish And at the time of the sim, the deportation of the Jews and other useless people had turned into internment camps. Though his family didn't experience either of them, the darkness of the land was growing. "But in this darkness is a light," he wrote, "the light of the world, the light of God's word. For Mary's son isn't just in a manger, but also ascended to the cross because of the madness of sin. And now he is risen from the dead and is the light that shines wherever his word is proclaimed, wherever his sacraments are given." So as Luther called the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper, the manger of Jesus for us today, where he is coming for us, coming with all of his power to forgive and to redeem us and to free us from sin's oppressive might. And if Bethlehem were not too little for Jesus, and if bread and wine are not too little for Jesus, then neither is any church too small for Jesus. Why, he promises that even if two or three are gathered in his name, there he is with them and for them to be their peace in the midst of a mad, mad, mad world. For God dwells with us in darkness and makes the night as day. Yet we resist the brightness and turn from God away. But God, grace does not forsake us, however far we run. God claims us still as children through Mary's infant son. God is not a light source that shines from far, far away, but dwells with us in the darkness. Yes, all around him, Klepper saw people resisting the light, turning to hopelessness and despair, or turning away from God in pride and idolatry or thirst for power. But he knew that we also have those same tendencies in us, to turn away from God instead of turning to him, to be full of ourselves rather than be full of him. There are even times when we think our situation is hopeless. But he says, grace does not forsake us. Though we may be faithless, he is still faithful, Paul writes to Timothy. God keeps his word always, no matter how far we run. I sort of wonder if those words kept Klepper was thinking about the prodigal son, the son who was welcomed back, not as a servant, but as a son. Why? Welcome back because of Mary's infant son, because of our Savior born for us, our Savior who Mary confessed, scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, brings down the mighty from their thrones, sends the rich away empty. Even us, when that describes us. But then this too, that he humbles in order to exalt, that he fills the hungry with good things, with faith, with forgiveness, with love, with mercy, with joy, with peace, with life. No matter how deep the darkness or how mad the sin raging around us, God has claimed you as his child through Mary's infant son. He has done this for certain in the waters of holy baptism. And he is not reneging on that promise. He has come and he calls and he will not forsake you. That's the promise Klepper clung to in trying times, the promise that we cling to in our own trying times and even in personal trials that we may face. The world has its joy for the season, but our joy is deeper. It's actually much more lasting because it's not just for a season, it's eternal. That whether or not we ever see the night of sin and death in our own lives, we would know the faithful and true morning star will rise upon us. He will give us his light and life, rescue and redeem us, and give us peace. It's true. The night will soon be ending for all of us, though we don't know when. But when it does, it will be glorious. And it will be a celebration far greater than when world wars end. For the war to end all wars, that actually and really was fought on the cross. And the peace and the victory that was won is what we will celebrate in the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom that has no end. So in the meantime, we'll do as Clifford wrote. We will run to where God's salvation glows in a stable's light. Of course, Klepper, living some 20 centuries after Jesus was born, didn't mean running to the little town of Bethlehem. He meant much more what Luther meant and wrote. Running to where God's salvation sits for us today. To run here, where His word is proclaimed. And to run here, where He comes to us in His body and His blood, and He gives to us every single gift He has won. That forgiveness, that love, that mercy, that joy, that peace, that life. So that no matter how deep the darkness, or how mad the sin, how raging the world, we can sing our songs that defy the darkness, that scorn the sin, that mock the death. And we can sing the praise of the one who breaks the darkness. Amen. May the peace established in Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection be the peace that brings you deep and everlasting joy. Amen. Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.